Will reforming health care save money or cost money?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. A government report released late yesterday says health care reform will be more expensive than promised. It's a mixed report, sure to be held up by both Democrats and Republicans in the coming elections. Here to make sense of the numbers, Marketplace's Gregory Warner from our health desk at WHYY joins us live from Philadelphia. Hi, Gregory.
Good morning, Bill.
Now, didn't the Congressional Budget Office say that this health care law will save us money?
Well, they're looking at two different sides of the elephant. This report is from the Center for Medicaid and Medicare Services, or CMS. They're the economic analysts for Medicaid and Medicare. And they say the law will increase healthcare spending in the first decade by 0.9%. Whereas they're not looking at new tax revenue. The CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, took into account taxes, the new taxes, in their estimates. And so they say the bill will decrease the federal deficit by $143 billion in the first 10 years.
Gregory, that's a lot of numbers flying from different directions. What does it mean?
I mean, in the end, this is all everyone's best guess. You know, take a question like, when you subsidize people's insurance, do they cost more? Well, maybe, because they're more likely to get care. Or are they long-term cheaper because they get care and therefore they're more productive at work and less likely to get chronic diseases? There's lots of factors, and the predictive science gets very ideological, very murky. And it's not only hard to predict human behavior, it's hard to predict politicians. The CMS says that the cuts the reform law promises to Medicare are politically unrealistic and the politicians won't make them. And how do you put a cost estimate on political will?
Good question, Gregory Warner. Thanks a lot.
My pleasure.
Arizona's governor needs to decide by tomorrow whether to veto a tough immigration bill or let it become law. Some business leaders there worry this bill will make Arizona's economy worse than it is, as Jill Barchet reports.
This Arizona bill would require the police to check the status of people they suspect to be illegals. About 2 million, or 30% of Arizona's residents, are Hispanic. Most of them, more than 1.5 million, are here legally. John Boyd runs the Boyd Company. He advises big corporations on where to locate their facilities. He says the timing could not be worse.
We're in a recession. Arizona businesses have enough problems right now.
Boyd worries that businesses like food processors will stop coming to Arizona.
It was certainly an advantage to have access to cheap workers, to do jobs that no one else wants to do. This bill may interfere with that immigration and hurt the diverse, rich labor market and increased operating costs.
Boyd says business leaders are bracing for a drop in tourism and for national Hispanic groups to organize boycotts. Republican Governor Jan Brewer has a pro-business reputation, but she's also up for re-election this November. I'm Jill Barchet from Marketplace.
And now we do the numbers. No clear direction today. Asian stocks fell. Europe is up a bit. And Wall Street didn't do much either. The Dow added just 9 points yesterday and closed at 11,134.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the new Harvard Business Review, a source of smart thinking for today's business world. The revival of smart begins at hbr.org. By Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing, online surveys, and event marketing. ConstantContact.com. And by CSX, whose trains move a ton of freight 436 miles on 1 gallon of fuel to help reduce fuel consumption. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
Russia's government just sold $5 billion worth of so-called Eurobonds. This is the first time Russia has tapped the world bond market since its financial system caved in the late 90s. Reporter Peter Van Dyke has that story from Moscow.
Demand for the new Russian bonds was five times greater than the supply, and there's good reason for that, says Ben Aris, editor of Business New Europe, the leading financial journal in Eastern Europe.
The state debt, foreign debt, now is only 8% of GDP, which is tiny. So it's in a very strong position. These bonds are seen as rock solid. There's no danger of it defaulting, as it did 12 years ago.
Back then, in the summer of 1998, Russia's financial system collapsed. And Russia soon defaulted on its debt. The memory of that humiliation has never faded, but times change.
The financial shape of Russia now is much, much stronger than 12 years ago.
Nikolai Podguzov of VTB Capital Investment Bank says the quick rebound of oil prices since the global economic crisis has boosted government finances. Russia doesn't even need the Eurobond money anymore.
The central bank bought as much as $30 billion into the reserves during the first quarter, and another $5-6 billion. This is quite an insignificant amount for Russia, I think.
So if the $5.5 billion is insignificant, why issue the bond? Business New Europe's Aris says it's a marketing exercise.
Russia's rating is on a par with that of Greece and Iceland, both countries which are virtually bankrupt. And the point of the bond is that the bond will be priced on the basis of Russia's macroeconomic fundamentals. And this will make investors sit up and take a look at Russia again as an attractive country to invest.
So selling the bond was the easy part. It might take a bit longer to sell international investors on Russia. In Moscow, I'm Peter Van Dyke for Marketplace.
And finally, here's all this week's business news in a Marketplace minute. Goldman Sachs is in trouble for betting against the housing bubble while they were selling opposite bets to clients who now have some major regrets. And a Goldman director is accused of aiding a guy who's accused of insider trading. And all this comes right as Congress considers some rules that give Goldman a case of the jitters. And that, you would think, is the end of my rhyming about Goldman Sachs and its terrible timing. But no, this was also their week to confess that they just made $3 billion, more or less. GM is paying back what we loaned, which is us paying us, since they're taxpayer-owned. Europe's airlines are hemorrhaging cash because Iceland's volcano's a plane in the ash. And Europe says Greece's debt still haunts them. I've got some Greek bonds, if anyone wants them. Well, if you change your mind, you know where I'll be. Come see me at marketplace.org. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.